Thank you, Diane. And I am not Raj. He's a postdoc with Dr. Lau's lab. And I read the program, and I saw he was giving a paper with my name on it. And so I start talking to him about what are you going to say, and then he says, I'm not even going to the meetings. So I said, I think I'll try to make this paper. I have to leave right afterwards. I actually changed the title a little bit because I also thought the title was misleading based on the work that we have done together. So I'm going to talk about no-tillage, nitrous oxide, and global warming. It's a little different spin because the spin on the title immediately said no-tillage was bad if you look at the title. And I think you need to take a little bit broader perspective on this thing than just look at nitrous oxide by itself out of context. And you'll see why I say that. So this is a long-term study, and I just saw these slides 3 days ago. But I do know it's a study that I'm doing with Raton. We're doing part of it. He's doing part of it. But what we did is we developed a chronosequence of no-tillage sites all the way from zero, which would be plow tillage, all the way to our very long-term no-tillage sites in Ohio, which are basically 48 years when this started, which as far as we know are the longest continuous no-till plots in the world. And each site also had a forested site. So we could compare a no-till versus a number of years of no-till anyhow versus a moldboard plow versus a forested site. And so this is carbon dioxide fluxes. And do you have a pointer? I don't have one. Okay. Okay, sure. This is from South Charleston, looking at CO2. And there's one thing you'll see, of course, is when you do moldboard plow, you do tend to mineralize the carbon, so you get a little bit higher peak during those summer months when you have carbon mineralization and residue decomposition. This is no-till. This is forced, so it aggregated quite nicely. And, of course, that does make sense. In Ohio, at least, when you do no-tillage, you build carbon into the soil. When you build carbon in the soil, that means you're not producing as much CO2 coming off that particular soil. This is methane, and when we started this particular study, when we looked at the literature, the hypothesis was the longer you do no-tillage, the more the soil profile will look like a forested soil, because all of our soils, or I should say most of our soils in Ohio, developed under forest. And especially with methane, we know in the literature that forests are generally considered a methane sink. So the idea was the longer you did no tillage, the more the soil would look like a forest and probably change from a methane producing soil to a methane sink. And right here, we're just looking at no-till moldboard plow versus forest. Later on, we'll look at this chronosequence. But you do see the forests are always a sink for methane. And it's pretty much equals right around the zero line. There is some, again, during the summer, some sourcing of methane with the moldboard plow being a little bit higher than the no-till from these sites. This is nitrous oxide. And so, again, from South Charleston. We actually have more than several sites, but he focused, Dr. Sheshra focused on this particular site. Fertilizer applications, we get a pretty big spike of nitrous oxide production from the no-till plow, from the no-till system, from the moldboard plow. The forest is pretty much basically zero all the way across. So the title is accurate. You do generally get a little bit more nitrous oxide out of our no-till plots because you have the residue there, you're building organic matter, or nitrogen. The residue tends to keep the soil wetter longer, which tends to create the anaerobic microsites where nitrous oxide is produced. So as far as it goes, that's correct. Generally, you will see more nitrous oxide coming out of our no-till fields than from our plow-till fields. Now, let's look at the chronosequence data, annual carbon dioxide fluxes. As we go from, this is comparing to the zero-till, as we go, no, this is not compared to zero-till. This is just the fluxes. A 9-year no-till, 13-year, 36. This is a plow-till, so this would be 48 years plow, this would be the comparison against the no-till. When we plow, we're always getting more CO2 flux. That begins to decrease as we go into these longer-term no-tillage, and where we have 48 years of no-tillage is the lowest. Now, the difference between this is 48 years. I have to back up. I'm sorry, because I'm going a little quick. I looked at this data recently. This is actually no-till also, but this is a poorly drained soil. This is a well-drained soil. So this is no-tillage, 48 years, poorly drained. No-till, 48 years, well-drained. And you see the difference in annual carbon dioxide fluxes. This is the methane flux. Generally, as we go into no-tillage, we get the soil as a sink, especially the longer-term well-drained. The longer-term well-drained become more like the forested soils, become a greater sink for methane compared to the earlier years, or where we have a poorly drained soil compared to a well-drained soil. Annual nitrous oxide fluxes. The longer you go into no-till, you do eventually, you have this nice change here in nitrous oxide production. Early years, not as much. It begins to increase. The poorly drained soil is the highest. There are some significant figures. After these long-term 48, 50 years, we are beginning to see, or we anticipate, and it seems to be, we're reaching an equilibrium. So whether this will continue up and up and up, I don't think so. I think it's a kind of a slope where it goes up and then flattens out. So tillage effects on greenhouse gas fluxes. Kind of looking at this in a more summary way. No-till, overall greenhouse gas fluxes versus moldboard plow versus the forest. You can see that the no-till does give a little bit higher nitrous oxide fluxes out of the soil. If we look at methane, all of the soils were pretty much sinks, but basically the moldboard plow was a zero. The no-till had somewhat, and it was different in some of the sites significant, but overall was not. But compared to the forest had much more, much larger sink for this particular gas. And if you look at annual CO2 fluxes, a no-till versus moldboard plow versus forest, the forest had a huge amount of litter input every year, which is cycling and causing that difference. But the difference between the no-till and plow-till is because these soils under no-till are building carbon in the soil, not producing as much cycling, as much carbon going into the atmosphere. And so the result is this one is building carbon, this one is maintaining carbon. In some sites we're still losing a little bit of carbon even after a number of years of tillage. So global warming potential, CO2 equivalents, megagrams per hectare per year. Years under no-till. It says capital letters for chronal sequence and small letters for tillage. So as we go down this way, just looking at the chronal sequence, you can see that there's a difference between the long-term poorly drained no-till, long-term well-drained no-till, and those are generally higher than the early years because we are actively building carbon in these years, and then we're reaching an equilibrium in the longer term. And then if we go across the different systems here, you can see early years 3.8, 8.1, 6.8, and then the changes over different years. The moldboard plow from 8.1 to 10.2, but this difference here is what we want to look at. So no-till after 36 years began to show a little bit more global warming potential compared to the other ones. When we look strictly at the greenhouse gases, a lot of this does have to do with nitrous oxide. I'm going to make a comment about that at the very end. This shows the change of what happens with the greenhouse gases. In the early years of no-tillage, most of the warming potential is due to carbon dioxide, But as you continue that over the years of no-tillage, that begins to decrease in importance, and the nitrous oxide begins to increase, becomes more prominent as far as global warming potential. Now, the one thing I didn't see in this data set that I think needs to be done is when we look at the total system, one of the things in Ohio that we're finding is the no-till soils as far as carbon sequestration are building about 400 to 500 kilograms per hectare of carbon every year. What does that mean as far as global warming potential compared to the plow till? We're taking carbon out of the air, we're building in the soil. If we only look at the gases, that's part of the picture, and what this data set has tried to do is show what that part of the picture is, but I think that's only part of the picture, because when you talk about global warming potential and you talk about carbon, you also have to look at what happens in the soil itself. And the soil is telling us, at least in Ohio, we're building carbon. And if you look at that total system, which I haven't had a chance to do, it's part of the end of this project, we will want to do that. I think in the long run, what we're going to find is that there's probably not going to be a whole lot of difference based on some of the early calculations between the no-till and plow-till. It's just going to be a change in how that occurs, or the no-till will probably be a little bit friendlier as far as global warming potential because of the carbon that's being built into the soil. And that's what I have. I probably have a few minutes for questions, and then I'm going to have to run. But okay, way back there is the one, and then another one. Okay. Well, I would hate to do that because, you know, what happens, I think, in some of these plots and some of our other longer-term plots, the longer you do no-till, you're building up an organic matter layer under our no-till plots. Actually, farmers are beginning to see they can decrease their nitrogen inputs, which I think will bring down the nitrous oxide production levels. So I think the better answer would be, what can we do to reduce that N2O output from our no-till systems? And I think there are some management practices that we can do to do that and still maintain all the other benefits from the no-tillage. The other thing I didn't talk about no-tillage is the previous speaker said how much fertilizer is so important. If we can reduce our fertilizer inputs, that will have a big input, big effect. Also, of course, we have less fuel usage under no-tillage. So there's another thing I didn't really talk about. So we have to integrate all this to really make sense of it. There's another comment. Okay.
Warren, as you well know, there's been a lot of sort of controversy and discussion about the extent to which no-till does increase soil carbon. There's been a couple of reviews that say, it's a little bit, but not nearly as much as often claimed. So I just wonder if the large accumulations, as you say, you see in your region, are a little bit abnormal. And so that actually, the overall greenhouse gas effect you said of the two cities is not so good. Therefore,
That's a very good point. I know there are some studies that show that no-tillage in some ecosystems, some places, are not building carbon probably at all compared to plow-tillage. In other systems, it's definitely occurring. I think in the well-drained soils in much of the Midwest, the longer we do no-tillage, that carbon-enriched layer is actually thickening. I have a student that completed a PhD study and did a very well-defined characterization of the soil profile. We are actually changing the profile characteristics after 50 years. And we had a very, one of the pathologists helped us on that. One more, I guess.
Yeah, what's the half-life of N2O in the atmosphere versus
CO2? All I know is the global warming potential for N2O is, 350 times that of, 310 that of CO2. So, and that takes a 100-year time frame into account.
Yeah, I think the longevity of CO2 in the atmosphere is quite long. I'm not sure if the half-life is a really long frame.
Okay, so yeah, so I wanted to come back, give this paper specifically so the audience could come away saying that it's more complicated than what the paper showed in the title and in the abstract.